Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. From Oracle to Sovereign. Once Google, Facebook, and other algorithms become all-knowing oracles, they may well evolve into agents and finally into sovereigns. To understand this trajectory, consider the case of Waze, a GPS-based navigational application which many drivers use nowadays. Waze is not just a map. It's millions of users constantly updated about traffic jams, car accidents, and police cars. Hence, Waze knows to divert you away from heavy traffic and bring you to your destination through the quickest possible route. When you reach a junction and your gut instinct tells you to turn right, but Waze instructs you to turn left, users sooner or later learn that they had better listen to Waze rather than to their feelings. At first sight, it seems that the Waze algorithm serves us only as an oracle. We ask a question, the oracle replies, but it is up to us to make a decision. If the oracle wins our trust, however, the next logical step is to turn it into an agent. We give the algorithm only a final aim and it acts to realize that aim without our supervision. In the case of Waze, this may happen when we connect Waze to a self-driving car and tell Waze, take the fastest route home, or take the most scenic route, or take the route which will result in the minimum amount of pollution. We call the shots, but leave it to Waze to execute our commands. Finally, Waze might become sovereign, having so much power in its hands and knowing far more than we know. It may start manipulating us, shaping our desires, and making our decisions for us. For example, suppose because Waze is so good, everybody starts using it. And suppose there is a traffic jam on route number 1, while the alternative route number 2 is relatively open. If Waze simply lets everybody know that, then all drivers will rush to route number 2, and it too will be clogged. When everybody uses the same oracle, and everybody believes the oracle turns into a sovereign. So Waze must think for us. Maybe it will only inform half the drivers that route number 2 is open, while keeping this information secret from the other half. Thereby, pressure will ease on route number 1 without blocking route number 2. Microsoft is developing a far more sophisticated system called Cortana, named after an AI character in their popular Halo video game series. Cortana is an AI personal assistant, which Microsoft hopes to include as an integral feature of future versions of Windows. Users will be encouraged to allow Cortana access to all their files, emails, and applications so that it will get to know them and can offer its advice on myriad matters, as well as becoming a virtual agent representing the user's interests. Cortana could remind you to buy something for your wife's birthday, select the present, reserve a table at the restaurant, and prompt you to take your medicine an hour before dinner. It could alert you that if you don't stop reading now, you will be late for an important business meeting. As you are about to enter the meeting, Cortana will warn that your blood pressure is too high and your dopamine level too low, and based on past statistics, you tend to make serious business mistakes in such circumstances. So you had better keep things tentative and avoid committing yourself on or signing any deals. Once Cortanas evolve from oracles to agents, they might start speaking directly with one another on the master's behalf. It can begin innocently enough with my Cortana contacting your Cortana to agree on a place and time for a meeting. Next thing I know, a potential employer tells me not to bother sending a CV, but simply allow his Cortana to grill my Cortana. Or my Cortana may be approached by the Cortana of a potential lover, and the two will compare notes to decide whether it's a good match, completely unbeknown to their human owners. As Cortanas gain authority, they may begin manipulating each other to further the interests of their masters, so that success in the job market or the marriage market may increasingly depend on the quality of your Cortana. Rich people owning the most up-to-date Cortana will have a decisive advantage over poor people with our older versions. But the murkiest issue of all concerns the identity of Cortana's master. As we have seen, humans are not individuals, and they do not have a single unified self. Whose interests, then, should Cortana serve? Suppose my narrating self makes a New Year resolution to start a diet and go to the gym every day. A week later, when it is time to go to the gym, the experiencing self asks Cortana to turn on the TV and order pizza. What should Cortana do? Should it obey the experiencing self or the resolution taken a week ago by the narrating self? You may well ask whether Cortana is really different from an alarm clock, which the narrating self sets in the evening in order to wake the experiencing self in time for work. But Cortana will have far more power over me than an alarm clock. The experiencing self can silence the alarm clock by pressing a button. In contrast, Cortana will know me so well that it will know exactly what inner buttons to push in order to make me follow its advice. Microsoft's Cortana is not alone in this game. Google Now and Apple Siri are headed in the same direction. Amazon, too, has algorithms that constantly study you and use their knowledge to recommend products. When I go to Amazon to buy a book, an ad pops up and tells me, "I know which books you liked in the past." People with similar tastes also tend to love this or that new book. Wonderful! There are millions of books in the world and I can never go over all of them, not to mention predicting accurately which ones I would like. How good that an algorithm knows me and can give me recommendations based on my unique taste. And this is just the beginning. Today in the US, more people read digital books than printed volumes. Devices such as Amazon's Kindle are able to collect data on their users while they are reading the book. For example, your Kindle can monitor which parts of the book you read fast and which slow, on which page you took a break, and which sentence you abandoned the book, never to pick it up again. If Kindle is upgraded with face recognition and biometric sensors, it can know what made you laugh, what made you sad, and what made you angry. Soon, books will read you while you are reading them, and whereas you quickly forget most of what you read, Amazon will never forget a thing. Such data will enable Amazon to evaluate the suitability of a book much better than ever before. It will also enable Amazon to know exactly who you are and how to turn you on and off. Eventually, we may reach a point when it will be impossible to disconnect from this all-knowing network even for a moment. Disconnection will mean death. If medical hopes are realized, future people will incorporate into their bodies a host of biometric devices, bionic organs, and nanorobots, which will monitor our health and defend us from infections, illnesses, and damage. Yet these devices will have to be online 24/7, both in order to be updated with the latest medical news and in order to protect them from the new plagues of cyberspace. Just as my home computer is constantly attacked by viruses, worms, and Trojan horses, so will be my pacemaker, my hearing aid, and my nanotech immune system. If I don't update my body's antivirus program regularly, I will wake up one day to discover that the millions of nanorobots coursing through my veins are now controlled by a North Korean hacker. The new technologies of the 21st century may thus reverse the humanist revolution, stripping humans of their authority and empowering non-human algorithms instead. If you are horrified by this direction, don't blame the computer geeks. The responsibility actually lies with the biologists. It is crucial to realize that this entire trend is fueled by biological insights more than computer science. It is the life sciences that have concluded that organisms are algorithms. If this is not the case, if organisms function in an inherently different way to algorithms, then computers may work wonders in other fields, but they will never be able to understand us and direct our life, and they will certainly be incapable of merging with us. Yet once biologists concluded that organisms are algorithms, they dismantled the wall between the organic and inorganic, turned the computer revolution from a purely mechanical affair into a biological cataclysm, and shifted authority from individual humans to networked algorithms. Some humans are indeed horrified by this development, but the fact is that millions willingly embrace it. Already today, many of us give up our privacy and our individuality, record our every action, conduct our lives online, and become hysterical if connection to the net is interrupted even for a few minutes. The shifting of authority from humans to algorithms is happening all around us, not as a result of some momentous governmental decision, but due to a flood of mundane choices. The result will not be an Orwellian police state. We always prepare ourselves for the previous enemy, even when we face an altogether new menace. Defenders of human individuality stand guard against the tyranny of the collective, without realizing that human individuality is now threatened from the opposite direction. The individual will not be crushed by Big Brother. It will disintegrate from within. Today, corporations and governments pay homage to my individuality and promise to provide medicine, education, and entertainment customized to my unique needs and wishes. But in order to do so, corporations and governments first need to break me up into biochemical subsystems, monitor these subsystems with ubiquitous sensors, and decipher their working with powerful algorithms. In the process, the individual will transpire to be nothing but a religious fantasy. Reality will be a mesh of biochemical and electronic algorithms without clear borders and without individual hubs.